The Saxon bodies near the fort are stripped naked and piled in a great heap. Two of the dead are discovered to be women. I thought we would have a mutiny on my hands when I told the men they couldn't keep the corpses. At least the death moans and sobs have stopped. A field full of dead men is one thing. A field full of dying men is another ball of wax entirely. The cries, the gurgles, the unintelligible muttering. Flashes of the German-Russian front scroll through my mind. Crows raid the corpses of their eyeballs, and flies lay their eggs in the open wounds. No doubt the heap of bodies will soon become a writhing mound of maggots. For that reason, I have the men begin casting the bodies into the river, letting the current and the tide carry them away. The incessant caw-caw of the carrion birds smothers all other sounds in a blanket of background noise. By nightfall, most of the Saxon bodies are disposed of. The dead Romans and Britons we bury behind the hillock on which the fort sits. Most of the army is asleep now. I, however, continue walking the walls, checking with the guards as I pass by them. Even Praxos is asleep. After hearing him tell and retell the story of how he slew 30 men outside the fortress walls a dozen times or so, I had to find something else to do. Torches emit a warm orange glow all around the rim of the fort. They flicker and spit as I pass by them. Down in the center, a smattering of cooking fires burn. At length, I find a patch of grass-covered ground, curl up, and drift into a restless sleep. I wake at dawn, with a nudge of Praxos' boot at my side.
"Is the apprentice done with his beauty sleep?"
he says, in his best impersonation of Orestes. "Right," I reply. "What's the situation?"
"Unchanged. The Saxons are encamped on the far side of the river."
"That's probably a smart move," I tell myself. We climb the stairs to the ramparts and look over the previous night's battle site. I didn't expect to see so much blood on the grass. Praxos turns and frowns.
"You should have seen the ground outside the walls of Rome when the Visigoths came. It seemed even the seas didn't hold so much blood. There was no way to stand without slipping on entrails or brains. I left to bring the message to Britannia soon after. I am certain the city has fallen by now."
We both turn towards the field of blood, seeing everything and seeing nothing. Three days pass, giving us time to mend our wounds. Priam continues his raids. Praxos continues to drill our hodgepodge army, and I continue to stare at the Saxons over the top of our wooden walls. On the evening of the third day, we hear oars splashing on the river, accompanied by the rhythmic beat of a dull drum. Six are elegant longships, their bare masts jutting upwards, and sculpted beasts on their prows. The seventh is a two-masted Roman cog. The Saxon ships are beached on the far side of the river, and the crews board the cog. Glycerin waves to us as the oarsmen turn the ship about and return downriver. Okay, Praxos. Let's do this. Praxos nods to me.
Form up! He shouts.
In a surprisingly brief time, the entire force of our army, save a few token archers, marches through the front gate of the palisade. With the few recruits Glyceron brought, minus the men he took back with him, we're about 450. After the body count 2 days ago, I think the Saxons are at about 650. Forward, I say to Praxos in a medium volume.
Forward!
He repeats at maximum noise level. He could blow up my eardrums if he wanted. I hear the alarm being raised in the Saxon camp as we reach the bridge and begin squeezing our formation through it. Just like the fight at the walls, Praxos, we can use the bridge like we did the gate. He nods.
Then, perhaps we should put all the archers on the riverbank.
No. Keep them here with us. We can't count on the Saxons to do exactly as we want. Once we get beyond the range of our archers, they'll be worthless. We need them in this fight.
If the Saxons even want to fight, if your plan works, they'll make for the boats instead.
Well, that's the idea, yeah. I take in a deep breath. Praxos, halt the men and give the signal. A man behind me blows on a curved black horn, emitting an eerie screech. The sound seems to echo off everything. There's something about it, how it mutes and covers all other noises. The Saxons begin to emerge, only in small groups at first, but soon they come out in droves. I turn towards the river. Yep. They can see their boats from here, I say.
Let's see if they're smart enough to take the hint, Praxos says.
My ears perk up, almost like a dog's ears, at the sound of a distant horn. Praxos smiles.
Glyceron did not disappoint.
I nod. The army makes its final adjustments. I can tell they're itching for a fight. What few men with swords stand in the front row with tall shields. Behind them, men with spears, also carrying javelins, just like the pilum the legions carry. Behind them are the archers. Not many of them, but they may be enough to slow the Saxons down. I ponderously draw my Damascus steel sword. Its weight and balance seem perfect for my grip, and I flourish it and spin it in my hand. Besides the occasional shout and mumble, the army is quiet. They watch the Saxons as they begin forming their own shield wall. I guess it's time for a speech, huh? I say to Praxos. He nods. What should I go for? Maybe one of the classics? Braveheart? Lord of the Rings? Game of Thrones? Kingdom of Heaven? Or maybe something like Highlander or Gladiator? Spartacus? Glory, how about that? Praxos squints.
I do not know what you are saying.
I shake my head with a smile, then step out in front of the line. All eyes turn to me, and I deliberately point my sword towards the Saxons.
Those bastards don't belong here. They came for our farms, and our homes, and our families. This is our island. Today, they choose. They can go home, or they can die.
There's a raucous cheer.
Let's go kill them.
I begin clapping my sword against my shield. It soon grows into a deafening thump, thump, thump. Wisps of fog drift across the open field. I turn to Praxos and whisper, just loud enough for him to hear. We need to be ready for a fight, just in case they don't take the bait. That would be... Do you smell smoke? He sniffs at the air.
It's probably their campfires.
I hear a roar coming from the woods behind the Saxons.
And that would be Glyceron.
Forward, I say, and Praxos repeats it. We move slowly towards the Saxons. Praxos and I, side by side in the front. The haze intensifies, along with the smell of smoke.
"Apprentice!"
a man behind me says. I turn to see him pointing towards the river. 6 plumes of black smoke and flame. I squeeze my lips and snort. "Don't worry about it," I say, partly to the man, but mostly to myself. Praxos looks at me with wide eyes.
"Did you order that?"
"No," I reply, repressing the intense desire to test my lexicon of Romano-Britain swear words. Instead, I sigh heavily. We march forward, less than 50 yards apart. A storm of arrows flies overhead. Well, it's not a storm of arrows, so much as it is a heavy sprinkle of arrows. I need more than a mere 50 archers to make it a storm, but it peppers the sacks in front rank nonetheless. 40 yards. 30. 20. A legitimate storm of Pelum explodes out of our formation, raining death. A heartbeat later, the Saxons charge. A heartbeat after that, I hear Glycerin's small force charging into the Saxon rear. 2 heartbeats after that, I see a tiny force of 10 men on horse burst out of the forest to the left and blaze a path into the Saxon flank, leaving a trail of fallen bodies in their wake. When our main formation makes contact, the world shrinks to a 10-foot circle around me. Swords and axes chop at the shields of our front rank. Praxos and I coordinate, shoving with our shields and forcing our blades into every available gap.
"Underneath! Underneath, lads!"
Praxos shouts, reminding the men of his training. Slash. Thrust. Shove. Thrust. See an opening. Slice the tendons of a man's leg. Thrust. Shove. Pierce another man's groin with 8 inches of my blade. Blood drips from the tip. Something hits my shield hard, making my arm go numb. Praxos dances forward, his sword like a tornado. Thrust. Slash. Shove. I force my sword into a man's armpit. The point pierces through the skin next to his neck. Screaming. Banging. The iron smell of blood. More smoke. Thrust. Smash. Thrust. Shove. My shield is forced backward hard enough to bust my lip and bloody my nose. Praxos lunges. A scream of pain follows. Then he dances back. I'm breathing so hard. For 2 seconds, I smell the stench of feces. But it disappears when a spear tip pokes to the backside of my shield, only inches from my left eye. We shove forward, and I slip on entrails, nearly losing my footing. I guess, as the commander, I should have stayed back at the rear of the army, so I could actually give commands. Because I have no idea what's happening outside the tiny bubble around me. We could be winning. We could be losing. We could have already lost. It could be all over but for the crying. I just don't know. Half an hour passes. My army is exhausted. I'm exhausted.
"Praxos!"
"Yes," he replies, without even looking at me.
"Go to the rear, and send fresh men to the front. But no pulling back." "Yes, sir."
Moments later, fresh, unbloodied men begin filling gaps in the front rank. The Saxons must have had enough, because it's more than they can handle, and they begin to wither. At first, it seems like a mere shrinking. But after a few minutes, the Saxons are in full rout. Their end has come. Once the press of bodies fades, I put away my sword and drop to my knees in a patch of blood and piss. I lean forward and one of my hands falls on two severed fingers. Who knows where their owner is? One pace away, a man shakes and shivers. He's covered in dark blood, and he cradles his abdomen. He slowly lifts his eyes to me, pleading. I try to stand, but have to crawl to him. I take his hand and gently lift it. The splintered tip of a spear, a full inch in diameter, juts from his guts. We meet eyes again. He knows. I draw my sword from its stone-clad scabbard. The thrill of its hiss is gone. He nods as his lower lip quivers. I place a shaking hand on his shoulder and the tip of my blade against his chest. My eyes begin to water. It must be the stench of human excrement. I grasp the hilt firmly and force it into his torso with my weight behind the thrust. We never look away from each other's gaze. Relief seems to wash over him just before his eyes turn glassy and vacant. I move away and wrench my last meal into the red grass, adding fresh filth to the acrid stench of death all around me. The army stretches out behind in a long column. They march with light and proud steps. The sun is still low in the sky, probably halfway to noon. Each bridge and stream we cross, each colorful bird, each grove of trees and each field of grain sings our praises as we march in triumph. Praxos and I ride a pair of chestnut horses at the front. Behind us, Kindheart and Hinkst walk barefoot, their hands tied behind their backs and a rope around their necks, fastened to the rumps of our horses. Occasional bouts of singing erupt from the army, along with laughter. To our left, over the North Sea, a black and purple bruised sky threatens to rain on our parade. Praxos and I keep looking at it in turn.
Sucks to be Glycerin right now.
I smile. Yeah, but he really wanted to take the seed on the way back. Besides, it's far easier to carry wounded on a ship than it would be to build a bunch of carts and stretchers for travel on land. Praxos purses his lips.
If those Saxon ships hadn't burned, we could have all gone back by sea.
True. But then you and I'd be having this conversation in the middle of a storm, on the deck of a rolling and rocking galley, or a cog. And I didn't want to run the risk of the Saxons somehow gaining control of a ship. We have much better control of the prisoners here on land.
What do you think Thorin will do with them?
I look at Kindheart and Hinkst over my shoulder. Nothing good, that's for sure. I blow air to my cheeks. How much further?
2 or 3 miles. When we reach the city, what do you want to do?
I want to go inside and talk to Thorium. These two, I point a thumb over my shoulder, are coming along with us.
Us?
He frowns. Yes, Praxos, us. You're coming with me. Maximian is dead, Glycerin is on the waves, and Priam may not survive his injuries. So yes, you're coming with me. He nods with his frown. 2 arrows to the thigh. He lost a lot of blood. And the wounds will probably get infected. Ah, Dark Age medicine.
Dark Age medicine?
Yeah, never mind.
Well, what would you do with the prisoners? If it was your choice to make?
I shrug. I don't know. None of them seems to know how the fire was started on the ships, and they're unlikely to stay here and be farmers. I don't think it would be right to make them slaves. I'd probably... I sigh. I don't know. What would you do?
I would cut small bits of flesh from their body until they confess to burning the ships.
I blink. You know, Praxos, if this post-Roman army thing doesn't work out for you, the Spanish Inquisition would love to have someone with your talents. I smile. Praxos nods to the road ahead. The very upper edge of Londonium city walls pokes over the horizon. I turn to the rear.
I see Londonium!
The men reply with a cheer. The gates open as we approach. Inside, every inhabitant lines the streets, showering adoration. The cacophony is stifling. Women scream in delight. Small children throw rotten turnips at Kindheart and Hinkst. Women bare their breasts and embrace the men in the ranks. Old men stand tall with wet eyes. The smell of sewage seems to fade away into the deep recesses of my senses. The sunlight warms the plaster and stone buildings, which in turn radiate their heat down on us. It's nothing compared to the warmth from the people. A woman with bouncing brown curly hair and an equally bouncing bosom professes her undying love for me. Another thin blonde woman does the same further down the street to the governor's estate. I look around for Hecate, but she's not here. Praxos and I dismount in front of the governor's residence. A small handful of guards accompanies us and keeps watching our two prisoners. The remaining prisoners wait outside with the soldiers guarding them and menacing children with rotten projectiles. We climb the stone steps, and I pause to turn around. I wave to the crowd, and they respond with more cheers. In the audience chamber, Thorium sits on his cushioned chair atop a small dais. Hecate stands beside him in a sash of yellow silk, and the room is lined with guards.
Congratulations, apprentice.
Thorium nods, ever so slightly. Thank you, governor. I bow. No need to be stupid. He's a craven weakling, but I don't need to shove it in his face. Not yet. He leans to look at the men behind me.
Then these are your prisoners.
Yes, this is Kindheart and Hinkst, the Saxon commanders. In a bored sort of tone, he says,
Guards, take these two prisoners away, but treat them with dignity.
When they're gone, he turns to me.
Well, apprentice, I'd like to commend you on your victory, but I question your methods.
I furrow my brow. What?
For starters, you allowed the Saxons to destroy several farms in the area.
We evacuated them before the Saxons got there. The farmers lived, along with their livestock.
And yes, yes.
He waves a lazy hand.
But still, their homes were destroyed, burned, by the marauding Saxons, and yet you did nothing to stop that.
Alarm bells begin ringing inside my ears, within my brain.
Maximian allowed you to build your silly fort instead of bringing your men to the first battle. Had your men been there, I would have defeated the Saxons outright. Maximian died because of your actions. I'm still not sure why you were commanding at all. I left Glycerin specific instructions that he not you, he was to take command. Please explain why you disobeyed that order.
Glyceron said nothing like that. Glyceron fought well. He did nothing wrong. Thorium leans forward in his chair.
Fought well? I've already heard accounts of the entire campaign. When you first encountered the Saxons in the open field, you ran back to the safety of your little wooden fort instead of fighting them right there.
You heard wrong, Governor. I fought their leader, Kynhard, with my own sword. It was only after... Again, he waves a dismissive hand.
Days later, you intentionally split the army in two. Perhaps you would have lost fewer men if you'd kept the army together. You are no commander. You are hardly worth the name you carry, apprentice.
I try to keep my jaw from the floor. Then Hecate bends down and whispers into Thorium's ear. He pats her on the hand.
Yes, my love. I have not forgotten.
He gestures to a side entrance.
Leave us,
he says to her. He then levels a glare at me and breathes, seemingly to calm himself.
And if that were not enough, apprentice, if simply being the worst military commander in the history of Roman Britannia were not enough, you had to defile my wife.
There's an audible gasp as all the air is sucked out of the room. What? I never touched her. He raises an eyebrow.
No, you never asked her to suck your tongue. You never trapped her behind the tavern and forced yourself upon her. What is it you said to her? Use your apprentice hammer on the anvil between her thighs.
That's not what happened, I snapped.
Oh, so you admit that something happened, though.
No, nothing happened. She said that, not me. I didn't know she
sees him!
He shouts as all the guards in the room draw their swords and move towards me. I grab the hilt of my Damascus steel blade just as Praxos places a calming hand on my shoulder.
No, he says. You cannot win this fight. If you draw that from its scabbard, they will most certainly kill both of us. No, you must be patient. Be wise.
I try to remain calm as one of the guards smashes my face with a gloved hand, and another rips my sword belt, scabbard and all, from my waist. A pair of them grab my arms and drag me out of Thorium's audience chamber. I see Praxos kneel in front of Thorium's chair as I turn the corner. A minute's walk away, the guards force me into a small dark room. Willpower alone keeps me from shouting insults at them. As the two guards walk away, one of them spits in my face.
Ah, I see your chickens have come home to roost.
I spin around, straining my eyes against the darkness of the chamber.
What? Can you not tell who I am?
I sit on the floor and draw my knees to my chest. I don't know how you burned those ships, I say. But I know you did. A soft scraping noise issues from the void.
Oh? And why would I burn my own ships?
I don't know that either.
Seems you know nothing, apprentice. A shame. I was hoping you knew why Hinkst stabbed me in the back.
Apprentice, I say to myself.
Yes. I hear your men call you by that name.
I sigh. So what happens now? Do you and I try to kill each other here in this cell?
I will leave you in peace, apprentice. Had my ships not been burned, and Hinks not stolen my army, I would have sailed away from this cursed island by now.
I hear him spit. I didn't want to kill all those men yesterday.
Yes, I know. That is why you left our ships on the riverbank. A smart move. You gave your enemy a visible option of escape. Only it was taken away. I assume my men believed you did that intentionally, to show that there was no escape.
I didn't burn the ships.
You don't have to convince me.
I shake my head and look out the small opening of the door. Is Hinkston here with us?
If he were, it would be as a corpse.
Not on your friend list anymore, eh?
He was never my friend. He's a wealthy man's bastard back in Saxony. Hinkst paid me to take him on my ship here. 5 silver pieces.
He breathes heavily.
When we received the news, he wanted to come to your aid. The rest of us wanted to plunder your cities. Perhaps he was right all along. It doesn't matter now.
Are you okay? How's that cut on your neck?
You have enough troubles, apprentice, without adding mine.
I exhale. Yeah. Just now Thorium accused me of raping his wife.
I was beginning to wonder why you were in here. And I assumed that you did not do this thing?
No, I didn't.
You have your own stabbing wound, then.
He pauses.
Why didn't you leave me on that field?
I purse my lips and lean my head back against the cold wall. What would be the point of that?
The point? You risk your life to save mine. Why?
I'm starting to ask myself the same question. I exhale heavily, then squeeze my lips and mildly beat the back of my head against the concrete wall. I didn't understand why Hinks would stab you. And I knew I'd never understand if I let you die right there.
I see,
he says quietly.
For what it's worth, thank you. I'm in your debt. Although my life has generally been on a downward slide ever since that moment.
Well, I think... Footsteps echo off the walls outside the cell, and I hear voices and laughter as they come. I lick the blood off my lips and try to stand, but the ceiling is too low and I hit my head.
This must be a Roman prison for children, eh? And you call yourselves civilized.
The footfalls stop. The guard opens the outer door. Bright beams of light pour into the darkness, but only for a moment before the door shuts behind them. A gruff voice reads,
"For the crime of rape and disobeying the legal direct orders of the governor, the blacksmith apprentice is hereby sentenced to death. And for the crime of violating the governor's peace, murdering Roman citizens on the island of Britannia, sacking the city of Camulodunum, making war upon the peaceful people of the island, and stealing the governor's grain, the Saxon heathen Kynehard is also sentenced to death."
I hear a parchment being rolled up and handed off.
"Thank you, God."
Thorium leans down and peers through the small door opening.
"So, apprentice, I hope my wife spread her legs wide for you. How much did she charge? Was it worth it?"
"She's lying to you, Thorium. But you probably already know that. How long must I rot in this cell before you cut my head off?" I see him smile through the opening.
I'll let my new captain of the guard tell you.
He stands and walks out of the room. The same flash of daylight as the outer door opens, then closes.
You will not have your head removed from your shoulders. Instead, your body will be dismembered bit by bit until only your head and your torso remain. Then I will simply let the crows eat what is left of you. You? Thorin made you captain of the guard?
I want my silver pieces back, swine.
Save your insults. I don't care. You will both be executed at dawn.
He pauses.
Or, more particularly, your executions will begin at dawn. Who knows how many days it will take to complete? Sleep well.
I reach my fingers behind my head and touch the electronic homing chip to be absolutely certain it's plugged in.